Welcome back to the Cold Stove Podcast. After a one-week suspension for both NRD and myself. No, just kidding. We had some real-life job stuff, which, you know, technically this is also a job, but some real-life job stuff. Some illnesses going around, but we are back. Cold Stove Pod on this lovely Friday, NRD. The one-year anniversary of a certain thing that happened. Can you remind me real quick?
Well, how could... Do I have to help you remember? Remember the 4th of November?
There you go. There he is.
It's the 4th of November. Jack Eichel was traded a year ago today.
And for those of you that are new here or forgot what happened last year, basically on the Cold Stove Podcast that we said that Jack Eichel would be traded on or by this date last year, and turns out we were Nostradamus. Not really Nostradamus. I had a little bit of inside info on that. But basically, his agent said, this is your date, because it coincided with about 3 months before the Olympic opening ceremonies that obviously ended up
not happening.
He would have played. He was, I think, mid-February last year. He was back on the ice playing games. So, well, let's talk about that for a second, NRD. First of all, how are you? What's going on in your world? And is Gary happy so far with your performance under his desk?
You know, I think the fans are disappointed. Gary's very happy. It's kind of been dry right now, which, you know, I am, I don't mind. I don't act like I am the all high and mighty when it comes to this sport. It's quiet time right now. Hopefully things will start percolating, you know, as we get into past the Black Friday and the Thanksgiving rush and all that stuff. But Gary's been pleased with the performance. I've been a good boy. I think so. Maybe we'll see what Gary leaves me under the tree this year. But no, I'm feeling good. We had a little bit of a sickness on the last Cold Stove episode. Those that listen know my voice was gone, but we are we're back, we're healthy, and I'm ready to rip this one. This is the 1 week suspension thing. Too long. I think we're ready to get back in the saddle.
We absolutely are. We mentioned the Jack Eichel situation off the top. Rarely is there a trade that has basically been a huge win for both teams. A lot of the times they say you lose the trade if you don't have the best player in the trade. Sure. But in the case of Buffalo and Vegas, Jack Eichel is playing, you know, as good as I've seen him play. Vegas is 10-2. They're cruising. Buffalo with the of players they got, talking Krebs and some of the first round picks. That team has changed, obviously. I won't filibuster on Buffalo, I promise, to all the commenters out there. Just a little bit. But have you ever, you know, recent memory trades that have been non-hockey trades that have turned out as well for both sides as that one?
No, I mean, it's been fantastic. You look like Buffalo, which I'm going to let you stand on your Buffalo soapbox because you deserve it, because they're a juggernaut right now. But for Buffalo.
Don't say that. Don't say
I didn't say so the W scared. Word. I didn't say the W word. They're a juggernaut. That's my new word.
Careful, Grinelli.
But they're solid. What they got back in that trade has been helping them tremendously. And then you look at Vegas. I mean, they're running away with it right now, as early, like as much as you can run away with it this early in the season. And I can tell you from a firsthand account, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Jack Eichel's very happy in Las Vegas. He is,
which I'm
very,
I'm,
very I'm, happy out there.
And everybody knows I'm a Jack guy. I'm happy for him. Glad the change of scenery has worked out as well as it has. Glad he's healthy. Obviously, that was a big crink in the neck, so to speak.
I see what you did there.
In Buffalo. So just happy for him. Happy for Vegas. Happy for Buffalo. Rare sort of win across the board for everybody.
Do you think the Buffalo organization is happy for Jack? Because Kevin Adams made a comment maybe a couple of weeks ago or so that was, you know, I thought it was a great quote. And I think Kevin Adams' focus is on the Buffalo Sabres. I don't think he's supposed to care about Jack Eichel. But, you know, this is a rough paraphrasing. If somebody wants to tweet us with the exact quote, I'll correct it. But it was basically to the effect of, like, we wanted guys that were going to be here. So that trade, like, kind of whatever happened, but we're focused on the guys that actually wanted to be a part of this organization. So is there a mutual respect there? I don't know. It's interesting.
There was company. It's company line. Obviously we know the ownership soured on Jack. Kevin Adams has sort of been the mouthpiece of ownership on the hockey front. Where I'd kind of disagree is Kevin Adams is a hockey player. You know, he is not just a stat guy. He's not just a number cruncher. Like, he played and won a cup.
Exactly.
Like, he is a player's player that I think, you know, can you get tired of some of this shit Jack says and does? Yeah. Can he be an asshole? Yeah. But I think there's a little bit of a company line, Eichel Reinhardt situation where, hey, are the Buffalo Sabres a joke to you? And you're just kind of getting a paycheck here. Where now it's a very different team, very different energy, the whole nine. So,
which is fair. And I think the Buffalo Sabres really quickly have set the precedent that, you know, we don't have time to tolerate that anymore. I mean, we have guys that want to be here. And what did we say last year to kind of close this saga of this trade? Like, we said the minute it went down, Alex Tuch was going to be so important for this team. Western New York kid comes in, and he's in that leadership position in the locker room. Obviously, Kyle Oposo is the captain, but, you know, Western New York kid understands the area, understands the fan base, grew up in that blue-collar kind of situation that a lot of their fans find themselves in Buffalo and good people in the organization. So, you know, to that point, I think Buffalo's done a great job of saying, hey, we're building this team around not only talent, but guys that want to be here for the long run.
Yeah, and that is important. The chemistry here with Buffalo has never, in my 20-plus years of fandom, maybe some of the Drury, you know, Peters teams of the late 2000s, Patty Coletta running around taking people's heads off. Like, those teams had chemistry. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been chemistry like this in more than a decade. And that it's just a team that has fun. They're sort of playing with house money, outperforming expectations. And I'm trying to temper this a little bit. I'm trying to say, like, when does the pumpkin happen? When does Cinderella pumpkin, et cetera? But their underlyings are good too. It's not they're not shooting at 29%.
Yeah.
Right. They're not, their goal differential is not 2. It's 25. Like, there are signs that this is legit, where maybe a 10-game win streak of the past that causes a certain company to print wagon t-shirts and Grinnelli forever to be ideally strewn through Chippewa Street, same with people saying shame, shame, shame. That wasn't the case. So this is for real, which I'm excited about. How the sustainability of it, basically what I'm saying is they're not going to be a lottery team this year. Do they make the playoffs? Who knows? Do they break 500? Who knows? But, like, this core is real. Mm-hmm. This team is real. And you know what the biggest thing is? The biggest change is goaltending. They're getting average to above average goaltending this year. All the metrics say so. Whether it's simple stats like save percentage, or whether it's underlying like goal save above expected, all that stuff, the analytics side of things. They're getting average to above average goaltending, which is the first time you can say that in a decade.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. They always say, show me a good coach, I'll show you a good goalie. Show me a good team, I'll show you a good goalie.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing it around the league with a couple other teams too.
Logan Thompson, Vegas.
Yep.
Rookie of the year, second favorite rookie of the year. Matty Beniers 1, Logan Thompson 2. There's worse money out there that you can put on guys. Hopefully Swayman's okay, but that start in Boston. Like, you look at the best teams in the league, and then you look at a team like New Jersey. You don't really scream goaltending there, but guess what? They've been playing well over there too.
They shut out Colorado.
Tough to do.
Very hard to
do. That's tough to do. So I guess I'll get off my Buffalo soapbox that I promised not to get on. I apologize. I'm just trying to be tempered with it. It's a fun team. Dahlin is playing as well as he's ever have. Tage Thompson is finally kind of getting back in his groove. And just guys are performing. JJ Paterka. I talked with some Buffalo guys about this. I said, before the season, he is going to be the best newcomer, best new guy, best young guy. And Dylan Cousins is kind of neck and neck with him right there on that, mm-hmm. with a sort of a breakout year for him. But J.J. Paterka, you watch this guy play. He is Jesper Bratt 2.0.
One of the Brett Merriman All-Stars.
And we're going to call him, and we're going to call him Jesper Bratt on this podcast. Even though it's Jesper Bratt, Jesper Bratt, you name it. But that'll be our one, my one mispronunciation that I can't get out of my head. So I'm just going to keep it.
Yeah, I'll take Dubas, Kyle Dubas, and you will take Jesper Bratt. So
perfect.
I'll give that to you.
Perfect.
No, I mean to all the comments, because I see the comments too. Let Brett have this one, because I think it's been decades. I think it was the Marine Midland the last time Buffalo was this high up in the standings. So let Brett have this one.
It could have been that. It could have been HSBC, you know.
Let Brett have this one. Let him have this. I will allow him to have this one, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, NRD. We'll get off them, though. Let's stay in that division, though. Boston's 10-1. And I will admit, I was like, oh, step back, candidate. Boston Bruins. Nope. Fuck you, Brett. Boston's rolling. Mm-hmm. What do you see from them so far that you're like, yeah, this is legit? And is it as simple as David Krejci being back in the lineup?
It could be. I mean, we talked before we started recording about chemistry and how it's probably hurting the Colorado Avalanche. Well, look how it's helping the Boston Bruins. And we said this in the last episode too, just having Bergeron buy in for another year and Krejci being back in the lineup and Pasternak playing like a guy who needs to get paid next year. And Bruce Cassidy, which, great coach, and look at what he's doing with Vegas. I don't want to take anything away from him, but a lot of the rumors and the stuff out there was that he lost that locker room and the chemistry wasn't there. And we're kind of seeing the side effects, the fruitfulness of that argument play out in front of us. I mean, they're playing like a team that's galvanized. You know, you watch what they did last night against the New York Rangers, who are having their own struggles right now. I think the Rangers are struggling mightily, but still a good hockey club. You know, the hit that Braden Schneider puts on Trent Frederick, they start stepping up, they throw the fist, they got two fights going on at the same time. Boston's galvanized, Swayman goes down, but I think they have enough in Linus Ullmark to kind of carry them through that. Mm-hmm. Like, they just look like a team that can't be shook right now. And I think, you know, you mentioned about the Sabres, we talk about these teams that might turn out to be pumpkins. You look at the top five in the league right now, Vegas, Boston, Edmonton, New Jersey, and Buffalo. I don't know if it's that exact order, but like, Edmonton could be a pumpkin. They haven't proven it till they have. And New Jersey could be a pumpkin. And Buffalo, we've talked about Buffalo. But like, Vegas and Boston, two teams right now that it seems like no matter what you throw at them, they adapt and they know how to face that adversity and they overcome it. And Boston has just they've looked like a machine right now. They really have.
Yeah. I'll throw Carolina in that mix too. Just the robots in Carolina. You feel like they're never going to win the President's Trophy. You know, they're never going to have the most points, but they're just going to ho-hum into second in their division and win a couple playoff rounds, and then can they win the Eastern Conference Finals?
That's the big
basically
one.
Like, yep. that's Carolina. Can we score enough to win that series? And then whatever happens in the Stanley Cup, like, it's Moneyball, right? It's over a season of time, our system is going to work at better than 85% of the teams. We're not going to be the best, but we're going to hum along and hum along and hum along and get 104 points and go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then win a couple series, 4-2, 4-3, win a big game, and then do we have the firepower? And that's where I just don't know. There's a reason that not everybody does that, right? Is because it's meant to be over. In baseball, it's 162 games. In hockey, it's over 82 games. That system is meant to perform above average over a long period of time. When you start shortening those periods of time, i.e. a playoff series.
Gets tougher.
Gets tough. Because the your playing averages, your playing numbers, and sometimes the house just gets you, right? So that's my concern with Carolina. But over the regular season, the robots, if they stay healthy, boom. But then going back to Boston real quick, That's a banged up team now too, and so I'm not calling them candidate for pumpkin status here, but when you got Swayman out for a while, Krejci's hurt, McAvoy's hurt, you know, one more big-time guy here, and then you're starting to say, hey, Connor Clifton, can you give me 20-something minutes a game?
But I think, you know, to the counter of that, that's kind of, like, I think they've handled so far their injuries.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, fantastic. Like, they've handled it so well. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to bet against them right now. They keep rolling. They just, like I said, very similar to Vegas in that they can't lose right now. You know, no matter what you throw at them, they just are not finding ways to lose hockey games, which is, to me, the best sign of a good team in any sport, really, is a team that just finds ways to not lose, right? Because the way I look at it is you're never going out there to win games. You're going out there to not lose games, and that's how you stay ahead, because there's always going to be shit thrown at you during the season. Injuries, players unhappy, whatever. We saw that last year with, you know, Jake DeBrusk. But, like, you're trying to not lose. You're trying to not fall underneath that wave. And Boston has continued to do such a great job of that I don't know if I can even think of them turning into a pumpkin, because it seems like everything that's been thrown at them so far, they've just found another way. They've seven straight. They just found another way.
Find a way. Sometimes that's all you need. And those seven straight with a banged up team, like, you know how important that's going to be? Those, like, 10 of those 14 points in March when maybe you're struggling a little bit, you drop two in a row, but you had that cushion that you built when you were banged up. And that's just, you know, you think of the microcosm of the season. We're going to get to March, and 2 points is going to matter. And that's when these games early in the year, you're kind of like, oh, we dropped one, no big, like, you know, they do. That's why, like, every game is so important in this league.
Which we saw last year with Vancouver. Remember, like, they started like shit under Travis Green. They got really hot. Bruce, there it is. But they missed the playoffs by basically the amount of games they struggled in the beginning of the season with. You know, they played as perfect of hockey as you could play to start the year. I mean, to finish the year, but they got screwed by that slow start. So to have that great start, the antithesis of that will help you in the long run.
Speaking of slow starts, staying in that division, we might have been on this a little early, but is Toronto okay?
You know,
I know we do this all the time. We just do this every week. It's like, it's just penciled in the rundown. Like, what's up with Toronto? Are they good?
I don't know if they're good, and I don't know if it's like, unless you're going to trade Mitch Marner tomorrow, I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if it's Sheldon Keefe. Did you see Torts' comments, by the way, about Sheldon Keefe?
No.
Before they played, they had that game against the Flyers a couple nights ago. Torts basically said something to the effect of, like, he's a damn good hockey coach. This media gives him more shit than he needs to get. Like, you guys have thrown him through the ringer. He knows what he's doing. I just hope he doesn't do it tonight against us. And then Toronto went out there and beat them. But, like, you know, Torts is in Keefe's corner. Obviously, Kyle Dubas, we will say that.
There you go.
Is in Keefe's corner, because that's the ship that they're going down with together at the end of the season if it goes haywire. I mean, Kyle Dubas, which I will keep saying till I get blue in the face, has hired Sheldon Keefe at every level. I think he's hired him with, you know, Sault Ste. Marie in the OHL. He hired him in the AHL. He's hired him at the NHL level. Like, they are attached at the hip. So they're going down together. Is it that part of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization that's not working? Or is it what we've said on this podcast? Is it the, hey, maybe this core isn't right for what this team needs to do? Maybe Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and John Tavares is a little too top heavy, especially when Jake Muzzin is one hit away from probably ending his hockey career.
Right. Yeah. And the team's going to look a hell of a lot different. They have, what is it, 8 UFAs next year?
A lot. I don't know if
2 RFA? Yeah. Like, yeah, it could get, and Samsonov and Chodron are both RFAs. Like, Matt Murray's hurt. Like, you kind of feel the ground start to rumble in Toronto a little bit.
Absolutely.
And they're always going to be, like, you can never count them out because of the star power they have. But the depth is not exactly encouraging, I guess, is how I'll put it. But do you know what is encouraging, NRD?
Let me take a guess.
My weekend bets with our friends over at DraftKings.
There it is.
Hockey fans, time to hit the ice again. Thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you're in for the season of a lifetime. New customers, listen up. You bet $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets if they win. For example, tonight, Carolina Buffalo, $5 on team of choice. I won't be biased here in the read. If they win the game, $200 in free bets, just like that. Just like that. That wasn't enough excitement. You can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So here's the deal, NRD. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code WASHED. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's code WASHED at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. And see show notes for details. How's NRD, NRD Bets doing this
year? NRD Bets is doing really, really well.
Okay.
I'm up. It's not been in the sport of which we talk about on this show.
I see.
That's why we've kind of been a little cold in the sport of hockey, no pun intended.
Oh, I really haven't bet hockey a lot. I might have to start doing it. I think you kind of like let the teams figure out what they are, and then you kind of start doing what I do, which is playing more percentages. Like I basically cover the team name up and play it like that. But college football, 72-55 this year. So
yeah, the
not bad.
Throwing around the pigskin has been fruitful for me this year, and I'll leave it at
there
that.
There you go. Let's go to the Met, NRD. What's up with the Devils? Is it the Jesper Bratt show? Is that all it is? Is Lindy Ruff is safe? What's the deal in New Jersey? You and I are obviously Lindy Ruff haters. So what can you tell us about what's happening?
Well, it certainly isn't Lindy Ruff. It's show me a good coach, I'll show you good goaltending. They're getting quality play out of Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek right now. I still think Lindy Ruff is a bum, and I think anybody in New Jersey will tell you that. I think he's, you know, exactly the opposite of what this team needs. I think they're winning in spite of him, and I think Tom Fitzgerald's smart enough to know that. They have Andrew Brunette waiting in the wings. But you can't mess with a good thing right now. Bringing back an abridged version of our Say Something Nice, Say Something Mean. I have to say something nice about the New Jersey Devils because we've been shitting on them for so long.
The floor is yours.
They're a great hockey club right now, and they're getting the scoring from Nico Hische and Jesper Bratt. I'll say it right. You say it wrong. How about that?
Deal.
Jesper Bratt and Nico Hische. Jack Hughes isn't even as hot as we thought he would start the season, but they're still getting quality play. Igor Sharangovich is looking great. Their defense has been solid. They're clicking right now in ways that we haven't seen the New Jersey Devils click, not because of any additions or whatnot. Andre Palat's hurt. It's just that we've always known the talent's there. They've been hampered by poor coaching and poor goaltending. And when you can fix at least one of those two things, which I think, you know, as you said, are directly correlated, you're seeing the New Jersey Devils. The talent's been there the whole time. And that's why, you know, a lot of people on the show like ask me, you know, we get tweets and comments and whatnot about Tom Fitzgerald. Oh, you're always going after Lindy Ruff. Why is Tommy Fitz exonerated? Because I think he's done a great job with this roster, and you're seeing that right now.
And you look at their basically their 12 guys, right? They have planned right now. They're all like 9 of the 12 are New Jersey draft picks.
Yeah.
Like they're not building this team through free agency. Their defense core is a little more of that, but you have it's just a team. It's basically Buffalo in 2 years, right? It's like kind of the, here we go. We have the team put together, and then finally they're going to take a jump. For New Jersey, it's happening right now. And I think they're for real. Yeah. You know, I think that's a real team.
I think the question is going to be his goaltending if they're for real.
Sure. Can you stay hot with Blackwood? Because he seems to be streaky, right? And their defense, you know, you have Dougie Hamilton, you have guys like Marino and Ryan Gray, but like you have old Simon Nemec waiting in the wings. All accounts, one of the best defensive prospects of the last however many years, probably since Dahlin. So it's just, that's going to be a scary team for a long time, or could be.
They're building it that way.
Yeah, absolutely they are. get Palop back. You get some guys. You get Heischer, who is finally kind of turning into a guy. And he's still young. He's 23. It feels like he's been in the league for 6 years, right? 23 years old.
He was in the Nolan Patrick draft. So that's
some guys just like Tage, same thing. Some guys just need time to like, some guys aren't adults at 18 yeah. or 19 or 20. Some guys have to grow into their body and it takes them till 23, 24.
And that's the thing, right? Like, and I'm not trying to sound like a boomer here, but like, I think everybody wants to be instantly gratified right now, especially when you see guys like Trevor Zegras do the shit he does in year one. And it's just not the case for other players. Like, Heischer was a great prospect. He was the first overall pick from Switzerland ever. And there's a reason why these guys are ranked as highly as they are. It's just some guys, like you said, some guys are just not there when they're 18, 19, 20. They're physically maturing at a rapid rate. They'll eventually get there. They're mentally maturing at a rapid rate. The NHL game is different than any other style of hockey they've played before. So, you know, I think, like I said, everybody wants that, like, oh, he went first overall, he should be a stud, because I think we've been spoiled in the past couple of decades with McDavid and Matthews and Eichel and Laine, these guys that have instantly been studs. Whereas, like, anytime they're not, case in point, another one, Alexei Lafreniere, who's starting to come into his own in the National Hockey League. Like, some guys just need time. You know, nothing wrong with grilling a burger, but sometimes when you smoke a brisket low and slow and it takes 7 hours, it's damn good too. And I think that that's the case with a lot of these kids.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Let's go to from one team on a 5-game win streak to another team on a 5-game win streak. That is the New York Islanders, NRD. You could say they might be back on the island. Are they for real?
Their defense has improved. And in terms of, nobody's questioning that the Trotz system is great for defense, but their defense is actually getting into the play a little bit more, scoring some goals. Brock Nelson is playing like a man possessed right now. So I think the jury is still out on the New York Islanders. And that's not me just beating up on the Islanders. I promise I'm not. I think they're very good right now, and I'm not taking anything away from them. I'd like to see it continue. I mean, Sorokin's a stud. We know that. Sorokin has a chance of winning the Vezina this year. But outside of him, I'd still like to see a little bit more from the non-Josh Baileys and Brock Nelsons of the world.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Oliver Wallstrom kind of looks like, you know, he's sort of been, hey, when's Wallstrom going to click a little bit? He looks great.
Yeah, he does.
He looks great. It's fun seeing a guy like that where people are kind of like, oh, man, do we have a dud on our hands? And he's always been skilled. But it's you know, it's the NHL game. It's just different.
Always.
And then all of a sudden, it clicks in a year, and you're like, oh, shit, good for him. So I'm pumped for Wallstrom. Barzal looks great. You can do a lot worse than having Pelech and Pulak together for the next decade. They're both 28. Like, that's an awesome first. I mean, they can play 30 minutes a night.
That's Lou Lamoriello. You know, like those things, it's like leave a legacy? That's Lou Lamoriello's legacy to the New York Islanders.
Right.
Like, if he did one thing right, he finally signed off on bringing the Fisherman jerseys back, and he has Pulak and Pelech locked up forever.
Exactly. Shouts to Borelli's. Go to Borelli's after an Islanders
game. Party.
Have you, from parts unknown, happened to attend any new games at the new rink?
I've been there? To two games at UBS so far.
Okay.
You know, I'm happy.
Cool atmosphere? Or is
no,
it a little...
I'm happy for the Islanders that they have a place to call their own, but nothing beats the Coliseum. I mean, it was arguably the best arena in hockey, even to when it closed, just because it had the charm. There was something.
Yeah.
There was something about only one level of a concourse and, like, you know, concessions with the old Bud Light logo from like 1998 and like that cheesy green and orange everywhere. Like, there was some charm about only having three bathrooms in the whole building. Like, yeah, and only one of them was a ladies' room. So it was like two men's rooms and a ladies' room in the entire arena. Like, there's charm about that. So,
sure.
You know, UBS is cool. Don't get me wrong. State of the art, cool stuff going on there. But it just, sometimes it's like you don't know what you have till it's gone. And it's like, God damn, I missed the Coliseum, because it was such a time capsule from like the 70s and 80s that it's like, I wish it didn't go anywhere.
You have a lot of those, you know, Joe Louis in Detroit, like, everybody's got to have them nice and new. And I get that, but it would be fun to, to go play in the old rinks again for like just a game.
It should be like every team should get their one version of the Winter Classic where they just go back. Yeah, like exactly. If the arena's not knocked down and turned into like a co-op, then just you're allowed to go back there and play like a couple of games there. And I feel like if the Islanders were ever able to do that at the Coliseum, I would be in attendance. The smell of the mold.
There you go.
The must in the air. Oh. Yeah, just have to do it.
And make beers like the same price that they were back then too, and just it really have a time.
Love it.
Let's stay one more team in the Metro that I want to ask you about, because this is a team that could be getting a little old, right? And that's the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tough road trip, tough night against Buffalo. You kind of feel, not that the wheels are coming off, but they're kind of wondering, do we have it this year? What do you say, NRD?
You know, what's crazy is Sidney Crosby's playing probably the best hockey we've seen him play. I think he's just not getting it from his supporting cast. Crosby looks great. He scored the other night. I saw the stat from Steve Levy. His 14th career goal in the first minute of a hockey game. It's the new NHL record. It broke Messier with 13, which is wild in itself.
I would have put my life on Gretzky there. Like Gretzky with fresh legs going out and just getting the puck in his own end and like, okay.
Well, it was the Moose, who's also a workhorse, so I'll give him that. But like, Crosby's playing great hockey this year. I just don't think he's getting enough from his supporting cast to propel that. And that's the issue in Pittsburgh. You know, I think their run last year was a little bit of a mirage. Gensel was playing great hockey. They were getting some stuff from Evan Rodriguez. You know, Jari was looking great till he got hurt. I think they were a good club, and maybe they would have gotten past the New York Rangers with Tristan Jari healthy and in the net. But, you know, I don't think they would have made it much further. I don't think they're a great club. I think they're starting to head towards that decline.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Gensel's one of my favorite players in the league. Him on Crosby's wing is just poetry in motion, mm-hmm. right? Those two play so well together. He's back, so that's going to help. But they just don't scream the old, like, Pittsburgh teams that just have this cohesiveness and this energy. And Jari's been not himself, and DeSmith is not a 1B by any stretch of the imagination. So I guess we'll see.
What'd you think of Jason Zucker with the Jager salute in the old RoboPen jerseys against Buffalo?
I do love that. The Zucker, that was a snipe too. Yeah. It was a great goal. They were up 3-1 on Buffalo, and then as soon as Buffalo got the train on the tracks, Pittsburgh, they folded. Yeah. It was like, oh no. And I liked it, obviously, but you kind of just like, oh, this is the Pittsburgh fucking Penguins. No slouch of a team. They're not young. You know, they should be able to weather a little, like a goal or two. So it was just kind of, I don't know, it's sort of like finding out Santa Claus is.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it's weird.
It's like
you don't want to admit that it's like they're probably not as good as they once were. You don't want to admit it because you're so used to Pittsburgh being a mainstay at the top of the charts. So, you know, I think that's what it is, but I think you have to take it at face value. They're simply not good right now.
No doubt. A good partner, though, for us, that's NordVPN, NRD. Are you familiar with a VPN?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Stands for a virtual private network, which is a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. It creates an encrypted tunnel for your data, protects your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allows you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. Here's why you need it. No one likes being watched or tracked, even if they have nothing to hide. That's why it's important for you to step up your privacy game. When you're browsing through a VPN, your traffic is encrypted, so no one can see what you do online. You use public Wi-Fi. You're at a coffee shop. Real easy to get into your computer, not with a VPN. You want to access content perhaps in a different country. Maybe you're in Canada, for example, trying to watch American hockey, or you're going over to Europe to travel and you want to watch your hometown XYZ team. I want to watch the Sabres if I'm in Sweden or Europe on a ski vacation, which I will be. I need a VPN for that so I can access my account just like I would if I was back home in the States. It's perfect for it. You want to stay safe? online. VPNs are the way to go. Cannot be tracked. Personal privacy is protected at all times. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. And NordVPN is the partner that we trust with for that 100% of the time. It's easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto connect for zero click protection. There's 5,600 servers in 59 countries. So you find a server near you for better speed or connect to a faraway location to freely explore the internet. Six devices too. Every major platform, Windows, Android, iOS, Mac, Linux, you name it, even Android TV, NRD. So here's the deal. Go to NordVPN.com/stove and use code STOVE to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus free threat protection, plus one additional month for free. Completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus free threat protection, plus one additional month for free by going to NordVPN.com/stove and using code STOVE. Let's go out west, NRD, shall we?
I was going to say, you might need NordVPN to look up the Connor McDavid highlights because they're straight filth right now. You might want to pretend. You might not want that in your search history because it is outright dirty.
The best version of himself, the best version of the best hockey player in the world. He is undisputedly at the top of his game, and it is such a treat that we get to witness it in real time in our generation, and we are just very, very lucky. NRD, I don't want to, you know, get on my knees too hard here for Connor McDavid, but how much fun are you having watching this guy play?
He is... You said he's the best version of himself. I think he's the best version of any hockey player ever. And I don't want to, I'm not joining you there. It's not one of those parties we're having with Connor McDavid right now. But, like, he's on pace to score 90 goals. And, you know, it's such an ESPN stat to be like, after three games, this guy's on pace for 400 goals because he scored three goals in the first, you know, 6 minutes. But he looks like he's legitimately on pace for 90 goals. I mean, he's playing like it. Like, every night he's backing that up. He might have 50 before the All-Star break, or at least at the All-Star break.
Only one guy ever to get 90 goals. If he does it, I will not be surprised. And he'll, I mean, it is as much talent, as much speed, as much just nuance and creativity and... I'm speechless. I watch, if the Sabres aren't on, I watch every Oilers game. Like, I'm finding myself doing that, and I'm telling my buddies who, you know, they're sort of hockey adjacent fans, call it that. They'll pay attention a little bit. I'm like, watch the Oilers game tonight if you want to see greatness. Like, it is true, far and away above everybody else on the ice. And that is such a cool thing.
It's amazing. Like, he's aging like your finest bottle of vintage from Napa Valley. Like, he continues to just
He's also only 25.
That's what I'm saying, but like, he's been in the league for a while. Because, he got drafted, 18, and he was playing already. Like, he's continued to get better. And we talk about those guys that are, you know, age a little bit later than others. Some guys start out hot, fizzle out. Some guys take some time to get going. He started out hot, and he's continuously getting better as he physically matures, as he learns the game more. Like, the only other guy, really, you know, Gretzky is in his own class. I think the best comparison right now at their age 25 season is just Crosby-like, in terms of he's only getting smarter. Like, he's had the physical tools, but he's getting smarter about how he goes about that. We've said this year after year, like, you know, what was one of the knocks on him? Him in the defensive zone, him, you know, on the forecheck, he's too fast. He's got to slow it down a little bit, allow his line mates to catch up, as ridiculous as it sounds. Like, and he's learning that. Like, you're seeing that when you watch him play now. Mm-hmm. He's mentally maturing. He's learning the game even more and more than we thought he already knew. And I think that's why you're seeing the success he's having. You know, obviously it's a team sport, but if, like, one man can go out there and will his team to a Stanley Cup, it is Connor McDavid.
No doubt. I mean, if you're Zach Hyman, are you just the happiest guy on the planet?
Oh, you love life.
Love life. Yeah, I mean... His contract's manageable. He's not making the most money in the world, but, I mean, riding shoddy for Connor McDavid for 6 more years, why not? And don't let's not count on Draisaitl too. Another top 10 player in the world. Second in the league in points behind McDavid. 24 points in 11 games for McDavid. 22 points in 11 games for Draisaitl. And they don't play on the same line until the third period. Their team's not, they're 7-4. They're not world beaters right now.
They're still fifth in the league right now. Or maybe fourth in the league, maybe. I think they have 14 points.
You can't, I mean, if you're going to win game 6-5 or lose game 6-5, it's fucking fun to watch.
Those are the two guys I want on my team, if that's your game plan.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I just, I've always had a love affair with the Oilers. The McDavid, McLeod, Draisaitl, Yamamoto playing well this year. Warren Fogle not getting enough credit. Their defense is, their defense needs some help. But I will never, it's like kind of betting, like, don't bet against Alabama because they're just going to be Alabama. If I bet against the Oilers, I'm fully expecting to like 7-3. Get smoked type of thing. Even if it's Carolina or New York, like a defensively responsible team. It's just don't bet against the Patriots. Don't bet against the Alabama Crimson Tide. And don't bet an Oilers under or against
them. Yeah, pretty much.
Staying in the Pacific. Where do you want to go? You want to go Flames? Maybe Canucks. I mean, that's got to be the most disappointing division in hockey, I'd say.
Yeah, there's two studs.
But we kind of, I guess we kind of knew that coming.
Yeah, there's
in. That's going to be the weakest division, but also when it lives up to the hype, you're like, oh shit.
You got the best player maybe of all time in that division. You have Vegas, who is a great team right now, which I tweeted out a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago at this point. Maybe I was overcoming the Vegas flu, but. I did tweet out that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals this year, and I'm standing by that for the same reasons that I talked about Boston. I just think Vegas is a team playing on fire. I mean, they just can't lose. Jack Eichel looks great. Phil Kessel's having a little bit of a career resurgence. Scored his 400th the other night, and he's Mr. Iron Man in the league, so good for them. That division sucks, except there's, two things, the best player in hockey, the best team in hockey right now. Other than that, nobody should care about the Pacific Division.
Yeah, it's Calgary doesn't look the same, obviously. I don't know what's up with the Dutch. Our NRD's darling team, the Anaheim Dutch, not their star.
You know what they need? They need Emilio Estevez to walk through that door and start coaching the team.
They do.
Because exactly. Dallas Eakins, I think, is worn out as welcome in Anaheim.
The biggest story with the Sharks is that Erik Karlsson is 18 points in 13.
I thought you were going to say the biggest story is that they changed their uniforms.
How about that resurgence for fucking Erik Karlsson? People writing his ass
off. He might go win a Norris Trophy this year, which would be pretty cool. You know what? If I take that back, there's three things I look forward to in the Pacific Division. Connor McDavid, okay. The Vegas Golden Knights, and maybe Erik Karlsson shuts everybody up for the past 3 or 4 years and goes out and wins a Norris Trophy.
Yeah, he is having quite the resurgence here. Maybe because Brent Burns isn't there anymore. Maybe that's now he's the dude. Not that he wasn't before.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any there was no deeper meaning into that, just other than, on the power play, they let Brent Burns rip it from the point. Like Karlsson being that guy again, I think he may be a little bit more freed up,
There you go. Have the not that the wheels are back on the track, but is Vancouver in a little bit of a can we take a deep breath now mode? Are we done with the freak outs? Are we done with the JT Miller this and whoever else that? And Brett, can Vancouver just take a little bit of a breather at this point and just settle into their season and win a couple
games? No, they suck. But I hope for their sake they do. They're not good. And, we talked about this in our season preview about Frank Saravalli's bold prediction being Bruce Boudreau not even making it halfway through the season with the Canucks. And you're starting to see that maybe he was onto something. They just look flat. They don't look like a good hockey club right now. All the drama that's going on in the front office, Francesco Aquilini. Rachel Dorry getting fired from the organization, Bruce Boudreau being a big fan of hers. There's just a lot going on. Nothing good happens in Vancouver, and I just feel like this is just another testament to that.
Yeah, that's fair. I do root for them because something about the, like, the, I don't know, the Johnny Canuck jerseys and the old.
Well, first of all, the reverse retros look beautiful. Beautiful. Maybe yeah, my favorite ones.
I agree with you. I very much agree with you on that. I like Colorado's too. You can never go wrong with a big Colorado flag emblem. So good. And on that note, everybody's wondering, yeah, Buffalo's weren't good. Not good.
You know, not people good. Love...
Good jersey, bad pants.
Yeah,
bad,
so...
Bad helmet.
The jerseys are great. Like, I'm never going to argue about the goat head. I think it's the best logo in sports. I'm so excited for when they bring back the permanent goat head, or at least the temporary permanent, the third jersey in November, late November.
Oh, can't wait.
The black and red one. But something about those... The white breezers with that jersey, it makes it look like a roller hockey uniform.
It totally did. It was just not good. It could have been great. Blue pants, white helmet, white, like, there's just don't try to do too much with it.
It just, I was like, wait, like, where was the Mission Hockey sponsorship on there? Like, going down the pants. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was very roller hockey, very 90s.
Very much Mission Hockey with the silver.
Yeah, you see?
The lime
green. We're painting a picture for you guys right now at home. Guys and gals at home. But yeah, that bothered me. I do think the goat head is one of the best logos in sports. And I wish they'd just bring it back full time. I was saying this the other day to a friend. I think everything from that era of sports was just good. And I don't know why we went through this like modernist renaissance of like every logo is boring now. Like, there's when you think of like the Mighty Ducks logo and, you know, the Penguins.
Oh, so you're a 90s fan.
Listen, bring back the fucking California Golden Seals for all I care. That was great too.
Oh, I see. I'm 80s or more. Like, I love college hockey uniforms because they're like 50s. Yeah. I mean, they are so classic it hurts. And 90s stuff is like the Tampa jerseys were so gross and
but they're so,
90s. So
gaudy that it's like it's great.
Ugh. Not for me, NRD. You can have that.
You didn't
want to
like
take the 80s and 70s all.
You didn't
want to
like break out your Sony Walkman when you saw those jerseys.
No, I give me like the Houston Astros, the sunset jerseys of the 80s, and the class, like just classic. Not trying to do too much stuff, and a lot of college hockey teams do that now. So much better.
Which I'll get. Listen, like I said, bring back the Golden Seals for all I care. Turn the Colorado Avalanche into the Colorado Rockies. I love it. I just think that, like, anything. I mean, forget 90s. You want to go back to the 80s. We'll talk about, you know, the brown, black, red, and gold Vancouver Canucks. Like, great stuff. I think there was just originality to it. And I think what we lack right now is originality. That's why we talked about the reverse retro program last week and kind of being like, I don't really care. But I guess I do because I'm passionate about the subject of, like, all the originality in the sport is gone. Every logo looks the same. Look at the NBA. Every logo has a basketball in it. I think there's like, I think I saw something on Twitter. It was like 27 out of the 32 NBA logos have a basketball in it. And it's like, you know, there's no originality anymore. The goat head, the Mighty Duck logo, the California Golden Seals with that, you know, cheesy 70s Seals script. Like, there was something to each team that gave him a unique identity. And nowadays it's just like, boring. So boring.
Yeah, I get it. All logos are getting boring. They're all like the Burberry, the new logo, the Panera. Yeah. Every logo is that black, all caps, same font at this point. There's you can read up on that for sure. Let's go to the Central real quick, NRD, before we get out of here. A lot of like maybe I'm not going to call it the best division, or maybe not the, you know, it's obviously not the best, but a lot of storylines in this division early in the season. You can talk about Dallas's start. You can talk about the Jets kind of back in. You know, people picked them as a Stanley Cup contender last year. They're sort of humming a little bit. You can talk about the Blackhawks that have a winning record when people thought they were going to be the worst team of all time. And they're sneaking up on people left and right. Same with Arizona. They're 3-6, but they're three. Like, they have some good wins on the resume. The Blues stink right now. And their GM has said as much. And the Avalanche are 4-4 in the Wild and 5-5. So every team in that division has like a weird what's their deal. Kind of the division that we didn't see coming across the board. Where would you like to start?
Dallas, because apparently the entire league runs through Dallas. So the Vegas Golden Knights are coached by a former Dallas Stars coach. And they're first in the league. The New Jersey Devils are led by a former Dallas Stars coach. And they are first in the division. The Boston Bruins are led by a former Dallas Stars coach, and they are first in their division. And the Winnipeg Jets don't look bad under the leadership of a former Dallas Stars coach. So the league runs through Dallas, apparently. I saw that tweet the other day. Shout out to whoever put it out there. It was funny. But Dallas is a team that, like, we talked about them in the offseason being a club that, like, they got Jason Robertson back in the fold finally. Jake Ottinger's locked up. Like, what can they be? We have to kind of see them put it together over. They had a great run in the playoffs last year. Bounced by Calgary, sure. But a great run. We have to see them do it for longer than, like, that short period of time. I think, is it fair to say the jury's still out on them a little bit?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, Ottinger's, you know, he's hurt. Like, is he still hurt, actually?
I'm not sure. I admittedly don't really pay attention to the Dallas Stars.
I know Wedgwood was getting some run there, so. But they're still doing the thing where they try to score all their points with the first line, and that's been a knock on them for years. Granted, now their first line, the Robertson, Hintz, Pavelski line, is humming. So, you know, that scares me. Right now it's working. But can you rely on that forever? I don't know. Their second line's not terrible, but it's not great. Mm-hmm. So are they for real? Yes. When everybody's healthy, of course. And can they get secondary scoring? And that's been their question for so long, even though they didn't expect, you know, Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn to be secondary scoring guys. Can Wyatt Johnson take a step? Like, there's a lot of questions still, but the early returns are solid. I mean, they unfortunately remind me of the Buffalo Sabres of 3 or 4 years ago, where you have a first line that's dominant and getting some good weird goaltending here and there, and then you win 9 of 11.
And then you think you're good,
and everybody's like, oh, are they for real? So, a little bit of that for me. With
print
them.
The shirts. Dallas Stars are wagon.
Oh boy, I don't want to do that. And then the Blackhawks have been fun. That's ultimate house money team. I don't know if they love to be where they are record wise, given their Connor Bedard goals. I'm sure, but that's one of those that their goal differential is negative, even though they have a winning record. That I could see that being they lose 9 out of 12 coming up here. Despite being a fun team.
Agreed.
We'll see. Are the Avalanche okay?
Stanley Cup hangover.
Really?
Big time.
In the way that they're kind of pulling the Tampa, like, let's just get to the playoffs and then we turn it on? Or is this a little more deep-rooted, I guess?
Deep-rooted. We talked about chemistry being so important for a team. Maybe Evan Rodriguez is not Nazem Kadri, and... you know, Georgiev, who's been playing well, so I'm not going to throw him in the mix of what's not been working, but, like, Georgiev isn't Darcy Kemper. And maybe, you know, you get better in the net, but maybe you lose a little bit in that locker room. And I think that could that be the issue that Colorado's going through right now?
And, you know, let's the big issue, which is a very obvious issue, is Gabe Landeskog has been hurt. Sort of the heart and soul of that team. You obviously have MacKinnon and Nichushkin and Compher and those guys, but Landeskog is sort of he's a face you can look to in the third if you're down a goal, and doesn't have to be all on MacKinnon, doesn't have to be all on Rantanen. It's a guy like that that you can say, okay, we got Gabe here, we'll be all right, type of thing. Or up in the third period, and you need to stop. So I think you get Landeskog back, which sounds like it's not as bad as it could have been. He's going to be out for a couple more weeks, get him back, and here we go. But I think that's a huge, huge hole for them. Not to mention a guy like Nazem Kadri being gone.
And trying to fill that role with a guy who, analytics darling, like you said before we went live, in Evan Rodriguez, but still just not. And he hasn't done it yet to that level in the league that you can say, okay, this guy's a number two center. I mean...
You know where analytics darlings seem to thrive is like a second line winger, third line center. Tough to be an analytics darling and say, hey, go play on the first line with MacKinnon. Yeah. And you know, you're probably going to get exposed for being, maybe you're an analytics darling, but you're not necessarily, like, there's a reason that you're labeled an analytics darling is because your production doesn't necessarily match your ability. Yeah. And sometimes that's just
the truth, and I think it's the bigger discussion that we have about analytics all the time. Like, there's one end of the spectrum where it's like you just, you know, you build your team Moneyball style. There's the John Tortorella end of the spectrum where it's, I don't like analytics. I trust the eye and the stomach and nothing else. Somewhere in the middle, I think, is where you build a club. And, you know, Colorado has a good mix, but relying on a guy like Rodriguez, and I'm not trying to just pick on him, but relying on a guy of his ability and his skill level to match the production of a Nazem Kadri, who we know the skill level's there and we know what he brings to a club. And maybe with everything, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, make light of tragedy or anything poor, but, like, maybe what happened in St. Louis galvanized them to some degree. Or, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of was that guy that galvanized the locker room in a way, as in their cup run. You don't have that anymore. You know, like I said, not a knock on Rodriguez, but to make him go out there and try to replicate that success is tough. It really is.
Nor is it's not fair to him to be, to say, we want you to be this or we want you to be that. Like, he's his own guy and always has been. And I think it's unfair to say, we want you to go be Kadri. We want you to go be Landeskog. Like, that's just not him. Lastly, NRD, the St. Louis Blues. Mentioned before, their coach is getting kind of testy with them. Their GM's calling them out. Are they okay?
Jordan Binnington is an asshole. I think that's part of the problem.
Might be one of the biggest assholes in the league. What did he do? He did something last night, right? I saw one tweet about it.
I think it's like the ninth time he's done it, but just totally chest bump, shoulder, threw an elbow at Ilya Sorokin coming off the ice for the second intermission, which is like he's a habitual, like, nobody's doing anything. And then he's just like, all right, come on, who wants to fight? Like, he's that guy, like, he had that one friend in college that was like, he always just wanted to wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, you'd just be like sitting there in like the dining hall and he'd be like, all right, let's square up. It's like, dude, I don't want to, like, I just no, don't want to fight you. Like, you know, like, and there could be like nothing to it. Like, you're not having an argument. You're still good. Like, you still be bros afterwards, but like, he's just like, come on, let's fight. And you're like, no, dude, I don't want to just like get punched in the stomach every day.
Repeat.
Just like, that's not fun to me. And I think Bennington's that kid. And, you know, he did it, what, to Kadri? He did it to Sorokin. He's done it to Jonathan Quick in the past. Like, swung his stick at whoever. I think he swung his stick at Kadri and Kaprizov. And he's just, like, not a great dude, apparently.
Doesn't sound like it. I think St. Louis is too talented of a team to stay where they are. I don't know if they're great, but I think they galvanize this.
Without a doubt.
Last thing, NRD, the Ottawa Senators reportedly up for sale. By all accounts, it sounds like the Melnyk family is going to keep a piece of this, but whether it's minority ownership, majority owner, there's something up for sale with the Senators. The latest rumor is that Ryan Reynolds of Wrexham fame, of the proposal fame, and of aviation gin fame, and maybe Mint Mobile too. He's got a lot of things on his plate, huh? Not to mention Blake Lively. What do you know there?
So the big celebrity rumor with Ottawa was Bieber. Remember last year? Jeff Merrick dropped that one. Just out into the wilderness. You know, Bieber might be interested in owning a piece. Ryan Reynolds, like, sneakily has money.
I was gonna say, like, did he sell the aviation gin thing? Is he rocking with like money?
Like,
money?
I don't know, but like, he seems Ryan to be Reynolds involved. Like, worth. Granted, Wrexham is not the, you know, Arsenal or Man City of the Premier League, but he still owns a team, you know, in the second league and the second highest league in England. And, you know, he's got the Mint Mobile thing going on, and like, he sneakily is a part of things. So like, he's got to have money to some degree, right?
So he's celebrity net worth, a reputable website, obviously, celebritynetworth.com, puts his net worth at about $150 million. So that's not going to get the job done. But if there's any guy that can put a group together, it's Ryan Reynolds. I mean,
it's an all-star group.
Absolutely. he can put a group together tomorrow if he
wants. And it's good for the sport, right? Like, we've seen the infusion of ownership from like different angles over the past few years. Like, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer getting a piece of Seattle Kraken, and this would be great for the game. And I'm pretty sure Wayne Newton has a stake in the Vegas Golden Knights. I might be making that up, but it's good to see that like hockey's becoming a little bit more mainstream, where it's, or LeBron, perfect example, LeBron owning a piece, you know, through Fenway Sports Group. Like, it's cool to see these guys get involved, and women for that matter, get involved at the ownership level. It's just like Ottawa Senate, this article about Ryan Reynolds ran in People Magazine. They're talking about the Ottawa Senators in People Magazine. That's something I did not have on my 2022 bingo card. So it's like, I think it's good for the game. I'd love to see it. And he's a funny guy. So would be great.
I love it. NRD, anything else before we bounce out of here for
Colson? Nothing else. I just think some cool things coming. I think we'll finally be able to have a little, not that I'm some celebrity, but we'll finally be able to do some NRD Cold Stove meet and greet, I think, coming up here soon. We'll pick a game. We'll have all the fans out there. Come see me and Brett. I'm excited for that. Not leaving.
I'll say that I think Buffalo is going to be the first
Buffalo, one. It would be fitting for this podcast that Buffalo is the first one we do, which is fine with me. Mm-hmm. I will fly in. I will drive in. I'll take a train, maybe a boat. You don't know where I am. So I will do one of those things to get there. We'll have some fun. Maybe we'll do some bigger events. I'm looking forward to the year ahead, what we can do with Cold Stove. Appreciate you all. I'm not leaving Twitter, despite kind of being sick, being under the weather, a little busy with real life work shit. But we will be back. We will continue to have fun and appreciate you all rocking with us.
He's not going anywhere. I am Brett Merriman at Schmerriman on Twitter and Instagram. He's NRD at NHL Rumors Daily on Twitter. We are at Cold Stove Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Check out more from there coming soon. Thank you, guys, and we'll see y'all next week. Enjoy your weekends, and let's watch
the pod. There you go. Peace out.